ideas,
stories,
characters,
scripts.
Please make this.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Please Make This mini-sode. My name is Laura, and I will be your host for this episode. I was thinking a lot about what to do for this mini-sode, and I have been looking to revisit one of my previous mini-sode formats. Unfortunately, it's not another seesaw today, but if you just heard that little sniffle, it is that I am sick again. So we are rebranding my COVID Diaries mini-sode to the Cold Diaries, because I have an awful, awful cold, and I am living off of DayQuil and soup and tea and every fluid imaginable, and I hate it. It has absolutely ruined my week because I still have to work, and yet I have found time to watch plenty of TV because I have no energy to work out after work anymore. Instead, I just crumple onto my couch and I turn on the television and I rot away my illness. So we're going to talk today about one of the movies I've watched during this illness. I'll also preface this. The reason this cold is making me so mad is because I had a cold not even 2 weeks before this other cold. So I had one of the worst colds of my life, 2 week break. I went on vacation. It was awesome. Come back, I immediately get sick again. And it's like a slightly different, yet pretty much the same cold. So clearly some other virus infected me and I'm mad. I'm mad at my immune system for betraying me twice. And I'm also excited, though, to talk about this movie that I watched on Netflix that has recently come out during my cold. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be sniffling during this. I know it's gross, but that's what the Cold Diaries are. We're living in our gross sadness together. So this movie I watched came out in 2024, this year. It is an Italian movie, and it is called The Tearsmith. How I found this movie, I don't know. I watched it after I watched another movie. I did back-to-back movies. That's how sick I am, that I could fathom sitting through two movies. And the first movie was already not good, so I was already going in with, like, can it be worse, as bad as the other movie I watched? I think I liked it better. But The Tearsmith is an Italian film. I did watch it with the English dub, which is not normally what I recommend when you're watching a foreign film, but this is like a foreign teen drama film about these two orphans, Rigel and Nika, who get adopted at like, and they're like 16, 17. And they've been orphans for a long time. Now, why I picked this movie is not because they said they were like these two teen orphans who get adopted in the plot of the movie when I was like reading it on Netflix. No, what Netflix did is it had a little trailer and it said something. I'm sorry, excuse me. It had said something like a forbidden love and like the wolf that like lies within. And I was like, oh shit, is this a werewolf movie? And that is exactly why I played this movie. And listeners, unfortunately, the whole wolf thing is a very much just a metaphor throughout the film. And there is not an actual werewolf in this movie. But the guy who plays Rigel absolutely should be cast as a werewolf. His skin is translucent. It is ghost white. He looks horrifying. And he's not supposed to, I don't think. I think he's supposed to look like edgy and like a guy that's like, he's on the wrong side of the tracks. But no, I absolutely spent so long in this movie being like, but he's a werewolf, right? Because that's kind of what the plot alluded to. And I was looking up this movie, because I watched this movie a couple days ago when this cold first started. I was looking up this movie on the internet because I was like, I gotta read this werewolf line so the listeners can know exactly where my heart was when I pressed play. And they've changed the actual write-up for this film because I think a lot of people were disheartened and confused like me. So let's dive in. Further. We have Rigel. We have Nika. They are like 16, 17. They've been at an orphanage a long time. They get adopted by the same family. We learn very quickly that Rigel has a thing for Nika. And Nika has a thing for Rigel. But they're brother and sister now. And we also learn that Rigel has essentially turned down every adoption opportunity from the orphanage that has come his way. Because he's been so in love with Nika since he was like, what, 5, 6, 7? So we're talking years of yearning in this horrible orphanage they live in. The subplot of this movie is that they all suffered a lot of trauma and abuse at this orphanage. But they now have to return to normal life and plunge into the world of being teenagers. I did like that they both kind of seem to fit into normal life really well. I really thought that'd be a movie to be like, oh, look at these weird orphans. But everyone was just kind of like, nope, here they are, new kids at school. We're welcoming them. But maybe things are just different in Italy than in America. And it's a romance, folks. And the ethics behind if it's okay for Rigel and Nika to be with each other, if they are orphans now adopted in the same family, gets tested because Rigel actually turns down the full adoption. Like, they're doing like an adoption trial, but he turns it down so he can be with Nika. And like any good teen drama film, we would expect this to end with someone dying or some sort of major catalyst. And it absolutely does end with a lot of drama. Not only is like this one guy at the school dance coming on to Nika, and he's being really forceful. Rigel, who's decided to run away, last minute decides to go to the school dance, fights the guy who's all over Nika. They hook up in the science room and then they're running away together. But then the guy who Rigel fought starts chasing them in his car. So they have to jump off a bridge. We wake up in the hospital and we find out that for some reason, even though they like fell off of the bridge together, Rigel's body broke Nika's fall. Rigel's in a coma and Nika's fine. She's woken up. Her friends are there. Her adoptive parents are there now. And we learned that Rigel's back at the orphanage and the abusive orphanage lady is being very protective of him like she always is. But Rigel, he's in a coma. We also learned that he has some underlying condition in his brain that causes migraines and fevers. We don't get an explanation of what it is. I have not WebMD'd it because I just remember that detail now as I was describing it to you. And we kind of think Rigel's going to die, right? Because like that is a teen drama. Of course, Rigel is going to die, but before we could get to an ending of what's going to happen with Rigel, will this love ever be? We have to go to court for our subplot of the kids are fighting back for the orphanage now and testifying against the entire orphanage. And Nika overcomes her fears and is able to testify against the orphanage. And they win. And then she's finally going to go see Rigel. And then he wakes up. And then it ends with them. They like grow up and they have a kid together. So if, like, weirdly for a teen drama, very wholesome ending, but I guess the reason I focus so much on the ending is also because the entire lead up is a lot of like, will they or won't they? They can't just stop gazing at each other across their bedrooms and at school, and Rigel's yearns for her and she yearns for Rigel. And again, I really thought like the kind of like haunting color correction that they did and kind of these longing stares were giving me very Twilight. So I really, really thought I was getting into something supernatural. I wasn't. I'll admit that I was wrong. Maybe a little too hopeful into some sort of Twilight-esque Italian film. But we take what we can get. Was this movie awful? It wasn't as bad as the other movie I watched, which was Damsel, which I will not be talking about during a mini-show, because it was just, there wasn't anything to talk about. But this is just kind of one of these movies that I'm like, one, I can't believe I sat through the whole thing, but I also can because it's me and I'll watch any stupid romance movie. And I guess I am also kind of surprised, given all like the teen romance movies I've watched, that no one died at the end. That's usually, I feel like, how these things go. So I guess the point of this minisode is not only for me to, you know, feel some sort of human connection through the airwaves as I recover from this illness, but it's also to, oh shoot, I lost my train of thought. That's my brain fog. Oh, what can we do about that? I guess nothing. The Cold Diaries. I watched this movie to feel human connection. I didn't write anything down for how I was going to do this. It wasn't to recommend this movie. It was just to, I guess, talk about it, hear myself talk. I don't know. We're gonna run with that though. That is, I think, the minisode. I think I just needed to tell someone about this. Because I don't think a lot of my movie friends are gonna watch this movie. As is life. Most of my movie friends watch actually good movies. But that's what I'm here for, I guess. I'm here to watch the shitty movies and tell you about them. But that, I think, is going to be it for this minisode. I appreciate you listening, if you've made it this far. If you want to watch The Tearsmith, you can on Netflix. I won't tell you not to, but I also won't tell you to do that. And that's a little last sniff from me as I think I'm about up for a Dayquil dose, which is going to be awesome. And yeah, I appreciate you listening to this minisode. We will be back next week with more content for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye, everyone.